So today is Palm Sunday, the day we remember Jesus riding into Jerusalem. And what a mixture in this whole Easter narrative. Hailed as King, worshipped, adored, and so quickly nailed to a cross, condemned to the death that was normally set aside for slaves and the worst of criminals. Let's move on to our first slide if we can, please. I want to ask you the question, do you know where you have come from, and do you know where you are going to? These two questions form like the backbone of what we're going to be talking about this morning. Do you know where you've come from? Do you know where you are going to? Let me ask you another question. Do you know what tomorrow will bring? Here's the thing. Jesus knew what was going to happen, right? The next day, the following day, and so on. But what about you? Do you know what tomorrow will bring? Do you know what challenges you will face tomorrow? You don't know. And I would suggest that many amongst you would say, and you know what, Mark? I'm glad I don't know. Let's do a quick vote. Please just raise your hand if you're glad that you don't know what tomorrow will bring. If we don't know, we can't worry. Yeah? And don't they say that fear is the greatest thing to fear? Let me ask you another question. Do you prefer to serve, or do you prefer to be served? Maybe you know people who like to just sit there and be served by others. Maybe you know of people within our own church, one who's just walking in the door, who would say, no. They love to serve, but they feel uncomfortable. What if people do things for them? Do you love to serve, or do you love to be served? And let's get back to the question again. Do you know where you have come from? Do you know where you are going to? If you like, I can tell you the conclusion of the sermon before we even start. I reckon that if we know where we've come from, and if we know where we're going to, that will change our attitude towards service. And we see that in the life of Jesus. And I'd like to propose it for ourselves. Let us, when we think about service, let us focus on what we were before we came to know the Lord. What we were before He rescued us. And what we have become by His grace. And what we are destined for by His power. So let me ask you a question. Does knowing where you have come from and knowing where you are going to, does it change your attitude towards service? I hope so. Let's read from John's Gospel, chapter 12. A similar account to the one we've already read from Matthew. But here we are now, John 12 and verse 12. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and they went out to meet him, and they shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." Now, at first, his disciples did not understand all this. This was new to them, We read the scriptures, we know what happened was going to happen because we've read it before. But for them, this was new. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Now, the crowd that was with him when he had called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead, they continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this amazing sign, they went out to meet Jesus. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." The Pharisees were worried. The Pharisees were panicking. They were in trouble. They could see that everyone was enthusiastic about Jesus and they were losing popularity. Doesn't it say something? When it wasn't Jesus, the one who was going to be crucified, who was panicking, it was the Pharisees. They were the ones that were panicking. They needed to make a plan. And they said to themselves, "Guys, this is getting us nowhere. Have you noticed the whole world has gone after Jesus?" But Jesus was not worried. He was not panicking. Jesus was not in trouble. I say this with caution because, of course, we see in the Garden of Gethsemane the anguish that Jesus suffered. And yet, he is not in trouble. He is not panicking in the sense and in the way that the Pharisees are doing. Yes, he was about to face the cross and all that that would entail. And yet he was not panicking as one who was in trouble. He was not panicking like the Pharisees. And we have to ask the question, why? And I would say because God had already made a plan and Jesus had already chosen to die. And if we go back in the Gospel of John to this slide now, slide number 2, to chapter 10, we see the proof that Jesus had already chosen to die. And we get this beautiful picture of the Good Shepherd. John chapter 10 and verse 14, Jesus said, "I am the Good Shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Very graphically, Jesus has told us that he is going to lay down his life. Verse 16, he says, "I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also, and they too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. And the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again." Jesus knew where he had come from. He knew where he was going to. He knew what was going to happen. He was going to lay down his life of his own volition, of his own choice. And then he was going to take his life up again. Jesus knew that he would rise from the dead. Verse 18, he says, "No one takes it from me." I want to make sure everyone understands this morning. Jesus says about his life and about his death on the cross, "No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. And I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. And this command I received from my Father." So we have to ask ourselves a question into our own interior hearts. Do you believe that the Romans killed Jesus? Raise your hands if you believe that the Romans killed Jesus. 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 We've got to get it. Please do not believe that the Romans killed Jesus, because he laid down his life. He chose to enter Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. He chose to make his way to the cross. Yes, the Romans had their part in it. But it was Jesus who laid down his life. And if Jesus had not laid down his life, the Romans would have had no power to lay one finger upon him. And although Jesus entered into Jerusalem humbly and on a donkey, he was given a hero's welcome. But in the very next chapter of John, after he has entered into Jerusalem, in the very next chapter, in chapter 13, we see Jesus serving as a common, lowly servant. How does he do it? How does he do it? You know that celebrities, they really struggle with the sense of who they are. It can go to your head when you are a celebrity, when you are celebrated and you're in the media and people are looking at you and talking about you. You can get strange ideas about yourself. And your family can say, we don't even know our brother or our sister anymore. They're not the person they used to be when we grew up together in the family home. Pride has gone to their head. Fame has distorted them. Fame has destroyed them. And yet here we have Jesus in his moment of fame and glory. People are shouting out to him. And in the very next chapter, we see him serving, washing his disciples' feet. And I've given the title for this slide, Knowing Motivated Jesus to Serve. Knowing where he had come from and where he was going to, that surely was what motivated Jesus to serve his disciples by washing their dusty, dirty, smelly feet. Let's have a look, please, in John chapter 13. And look out for these hints, because I'm claiming that knowing motivated Jesus to serve. And this word actually appears in the text, so look out for it, please. It was just before the Passover festival, and Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave the world and go to the Father. Jesus knew. And having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And this phrase, Jesus knew, is coming up again. The evening meal, it was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. And Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power. As well as that, he knew that he had come from God, and he knew that he was returning to God. And based on that knowledge, the foundation that knowledge gave him, Jesus got up from the meal. He took off his outer clothing. He wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. How could Jesus, the very one that they had been shouting for and worshipping, how could he, the one who had become an overnight success, a celebrity, how could that Jesus bend down and wash people's feet? How could he do this menial task, this work that was normally saved for slaves? What was Jesus' secret? His secret was that he knew four things. The four things that we've just read about in John chapter 13, verses 1 to 5. There's four things that he knew. First of all, he knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Number two, he knew that the Father had put all things under his power. Number three, he knew where he had come from, that he had come from God. Number four, he knew where he was going to, that he was returning to God. And you see, Jesus did not have to prove anything. He knew where he had come from. He knew where he was going to. And at the start of this, what we call Holy Week, Jesus knew that he faced crucifixion within the week. He knew what tomorrow would bring. And as we have already admitted, for us, we would rather not know what tomorrow will bring. Save us panicking. Save us being anxious. But Jesus knew what was coming up. He knew four things. He knew the future. He knew that God had given him power. He knew where he had come from. And he knew where he was going to. And whilst we are so very different to Jesus, we cannot compare our situation with Jesus, and yet we can say that we too, we need to know where we have come from, and we need to know where we are going to. We need to know where we have come from. That is to say, we need to know what we used to be, what we used to be like. And we need to know where we are going to. That is to say, what we have become in Christ and through his sacrifice for us. And I believe, as I've already stated, if we really know the answer to these two questions, where we've come from, where we're headed for, by the grace of God, it will affect our attitude. It will transform us. It will change our behavior and propel us to serve as Jesus served us. So, I've got some ideas coming up for you. Slide number four there. I would like to suggest, yes, we need to know where we've come from and where we're going to. What about this one? We have come from darkness into light. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, "For you were once darkness." That's where you've come from, darkness. But now, your situation is so different. Now you are light in the Lord. Do we understand fully where we have come from? Do we get it that we've come from the darkness of this world? Do we get it that we have been called to become light in the Lord? Let's open our Bibles together. Ephesians chapter 5, please. And verse 8. The Apostle Paul says to us, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." So what? So live as children of light. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So live as children of the light. Do you see what the Apostle Paul is doing here? He's saying, get hold of what you were, get hold of what you are, and live in accordance with this truth. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and in righteousness and in truth, and find out what pleases the Lord. We are light in the Lord, and we are called to live as children of the light. And this, of course, means embracing the new and rejecting the old. He goes on to say in verse 11, "Have nothing to do with the fruitless, meaningless, stupid deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. We live in a society where we are constantly being told not to call out wrong behavior and wrong attitudes. And yet here, the Apostle Paul says, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather, instead, expose them. We should not tolerate the fruitless deeds of darkness. We should not be amused by the fruitless deeds of darkness. Doesn't the TV and the media make light of the fruitless deeds of darkness? It's fun. It's exciting. Except it isn't. We should not attempt to excuse the fruitless deeds of darkness. We should not attempt to explain them away. The Apostle Paul continues. He says it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. And that is why it is said in the Bible, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Next week, Resurrection Sunday, we will be celebrating Jesus rising from the dead. But even now, the Bible is calling us, wake up. Sleeper, get out of the grave, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Stop living like dead people and start living like live people, alive in the Lord. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Have you seen the news recently? Did you know that the days are evil? Did anyone tell you that? Did you get it? We were in Moldova just a couple of weeks ago, as you know. People are afraid. They don't know what's going to happen next. They're neighbors with Ukraine. They're neighbors with Russia. The days are evil. And if we know that the days are evil, then we need to live not as unwise, but as wise. And we need to make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. And the Apostle Paul goes on and says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Let me ask you the question. When was the last time you got drunk? Because the Bible is telling us, do not find your escape in alcohol. Do not find your escape in alcohol. I get it. People drink to feel better. But the Apostle Paul is saying, don't find your escape, your sense of being, your sense of relaxation in alcohol. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And speak to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I've already asked you, when was the last time you got drunk? Let me ask you another one. When was the last time you greeted someone with a psalm, a hymn, a song, a verse of Scripture? I think, my brothers and sisters, this is an area we could do so much better in. We need to be greeting each other with a verse from Scripture, with a song. We have come from darkness, but now we have the light of Christ. Hallelujah. And what else have we come from? I would say that we'll move on to the next slide. We've come also from death to life. In Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul tells us, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following the desires, its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. I'm just aware of the time, so I'm going to not comment so much on these verses. I'll just let the Scripture speak. But Because of his great love for us, God, who was rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. Do you see, we're talking about where we've come from, where we're going to. We've come from death to life. Verse 6, God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Because it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by work. So there's no point anyone boasting, right? For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You know what? Jesus did the work set for him by his Father, even serving his friends by washing their feet, and then, of course, going to the cross. And we too can do good works that God has prepared for us, works of service, if we know that we have come from death and are now living the life of Christ. What have we said so far? We've said we were once darkness, but now we are in the light. We were once dead in our sins, but now we live the life that God has given us. And there's one more I want to share with you. The next slide, please. You see, we were once a long way away from God. You can't have fellowship when you're such a distance away. But we have come from being far away. We've been brought right into fellowship with God and with each other. Look, this is a real simple one, real short one. Ephesians 2, just one verse I put there for you. Verse 13. Now in Christ, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So as we come to a close, I want to say this, that knowing where we've come from and where we're going to, knowing should motivate us also to serve. But we won't be motivated unless we remember and choose to know where we have come from and where we are going to. Let's just remind ourselves the verse that we started with, John 13. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and he knew that he had come from God, and he knew that he was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, he took off his outer clothing, and he wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. Based on this knowledge, knowing where he had come from, knowing where he was going to, Jesus was able to serve. And we also need to know where we have come from and where we are going to in order to serve our God, in order to serve our church, in order to serve our community. We need to know that by God's grace we have come from darkness to light. We have come from death to life. We have come from being far away from God. We've come into fellowship with him. Amen.